Today, documentary films are experiencing a major renaissance, and for good reason. But why are audiences increasingly choosing fact over fiction?
Is it a dearth of realism, like endless comic book sequels and end-of-the-world action movies? Are viewers choosing authentic storytelling over spectacular visuals and far-fetched plots?
Or maybe it's because docs f***ing rule. Hi, I'm Parker Romaine.
And I'm George Chen.
And we host SupDoc.
We didn't go to film school. We're just two comedians that dork out on docs.
And since 2015, we've been recapping amazing documentaries with comedians, actors, and filmmakers like legendary comedians Dana Gould and Todd Glass.
Musicians like Yacht and Dan Deacon.
And even media stars like Jesse Thorne and Francesca Fiorentini.
The AV Club called us enlightening, and Boing Boing said, SupDoc is a great idea for a podcast.
So find us wherever you get your podcasts or join us at supdocpodcast.com.
And follow us on social media at SupDoc Podcast.
Oh yeah, it was today, the 6th.
It is.
Yep.
Yeah. Is it already recording?
Mm.
Oh, son of a bitch. Should we start it over?
No,
we're good. We'll just cut this part. Or leave it in. Let them give us some behind the scenes.
Hey, see how the sausage is made.
Welcome to the Escapist Comics Podcast. I'm Jessica Balboni.
I'm Jesse Hitt.
And I'm Jacob Rubin.
Hey!
He's back.
Hey, I'm here again.
Time at sea.
Yeah.
Hello, Jacob.
Hi, it's good to be back. Good to be back on the podcast.
Is back together.
Yeah.
Nice.
And you guys are still doing this every week?
Yeah, mostly.
Pretty much, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. When we can.
I always listen.
Aw, thanks.
Yeah, I love those great recurring bits you guys have.
They play the podcast on the boat.
Right.
Over the PA during lunchtime.
That's where we find most of our loyal fans is at sea.
Yeah, every week we have like a screening, which is weird because it's just audio.
You just sit in a dark room.
Right.
Quietly listen.
It sounds weird.
And people are just like, we don't get comics here. What are they talking about?
Yeah, it's like the opposite of a silent disco. Kind of.
Right.
Yeah.
Actually, on my last ship, we did have a silent disco.
Why do those exist?
So, at first I thought it was stupid, but now I kind of get it. Mm-hmm. One, it means you can go to a club and listen to music, but if you decide you want to stop listening to music, like mm-hmm. it's too loud, you can just stop.
This is a real thing.
This is a real thing. You know about these things?
No.
You go put on headphones. Everybody puts on headphones and dances around listening to the same song on their headphones.
Well, but most silent discos, there's two DJs, and you pick which one you want to listen to.
Oh, I didn't know
that. There's a
little
switch.
Okay.
So then, the color that the headphones light up, at least on my ship, the way it mm-hmm. works is there was a green DJ and a blue DJ, and whichever one you were listening to, and you could just hit a little switch to go back and forth. And so, you'd look around the room and see, like, which color is more dominant. So you'd see people dancing with one another, even though they're dancing to two different songs.
So were there any race wars during this?
One.
Okay.
Yeah. There was actually a week when one of the DJs we had most of the time I was there was this DJ who was Brazilian. Uh-huh. And during Carnival, a lot of Brazilians came on the ship. So she was playing all Brazilian music. Right, and then the other guy was there be like, hey, so I'm here for white people.
It's all white music only. Boogie.
Right, yeah.
Just Brooks and Dunn.
It's really, watching live dancing when you can't hear the music is really weird.
Yeah. Ugh.
But there was one week when the DJ was just like, I'm just going to play the Escapist Comics podcast. And so it was people who were like dancing, then people who were like, oh, humorous insight.
Sometimes.
Right. I can see that really hurting some DJ feelings, too. If, like, you're the blue DJ and you look out over a sea of people and it's just all green.
Yeah.
And it's just your mom with your blue headphones.
Like, keep it up, honey. Keep it up.
They battle. That's like a thing.
Whoa.
That's how you could do like a live DJ battle, like actually figure out who people want to listen to. And so you can see like the wave of blue and then the wave of green. And like one time they come in, Ruby Yu, I'm going to give a shout out to Ruby Yu. She's definitely never going to hear this because it's mostly in English. And the other DJ who was the guest DJ was like, we're not going to battle tonight. Let's just have fun. She's like, okay, cool. So she's playing all her own stuff. And then at one point it's mostly his color. So he starts filming the room and she's like, oh, so we're doing this, and fucking bodies him the rest of the night. It was great. So yeah, I do recommend, if you find out about silent disco, it's like, I mean, it's a cool, weird thing.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And you could just go for like, because it's a cruise ship, there's always a billion things happening, so people would go for like 10 minutes and be like, all right, I did it, and leave.
tell you now, it's something I'll never do.
Right. And also, I quit cruise ships, so I can announce that here that I'm not doing it anymore. So
congratulations.
Thank you.
At least you got to see the world.
I did. The wet parts, yeah.
Yeah, the wet parts. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. You didn't see on land. Wait, that's not...
Yeah.
Drive a boat
I just like, now that I'm back, people are like, why are you tan? It's like, because the only thing I could do was go to the beach.
Yeah.
Like, in the Caribbean, there's not a lot else happening.
It's pretty much just all beach.
Yeah. There was one cool thing, and this is, I did this like a year ago, but it's, if you're ever on the island of St. Martin, there's a guy, Nick Haley, I think is his name, who worked on Star Wars. He was one of the creature designers for the cantina, and he was one of the co-designers on Yoda. He lives on the island of St. Martin, and he has a little museum that's like $10, and it's like an hour of like props and costumes.
That's
and
so cool.
Like replicas of stuff that he worked on. He did makeup for like everybody. So he's got face casts of like every major Hollywood actor.
Oh my God.
He worked on a Thriller video. He's got stuff from Men in Black and Terminator.
Holy
and
shit.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And he's usually just hanging out, like answering questions. So that if you're ever on set. So I went at least three times.
Yeah. Because
my ship would always go to St. Martin.
Right.
So if you're ever in St. Martin, it's like you can go on a jet ski. You can go parasailing. Mm-hmm. You can go to the beach or you can go to a Star Wars museum.
I would definitely do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's only an hour, so you can go to the beach, too.
That's awesome. Yeah. Cool. And nerdy things still to do while you're on the beach.
Yeah, that's what I tried to do every city I went to. I'd look up the nerdy thing. Did you know that the RoboCop statue is only in Detroit and no other cities?
Wow.
You think they put it on a tour, right?
Yeah. The only good cop.
Yeah.
The most unbelievable part
the
of the
only
movie.
Good cop is a RoboCop.
Yeah. The craziest conceit of the movie RoboCop was that a cop was helping people. That would never happen.
So, Jacob, did you read any comics while you were out there?
This isn't a comic, but I did read Grant Morrison's Super Gods, which is now old. Because when it came out, so when I get to the final chapter, he's talking about how excited he is for the Green Lantern movie, and I'm like, oh, Grant, oh no. But I got the paperback, which came out after that movie came out, and he made mention of, like, yeah, that was not a good call. But if you haven't read it, it is really interesting. He talks about, like the beginning is a lot about, like, you know, what, like, it's like a full chapter about, like, what Superman is and what he represents and how he was created and what he means now. And, like, maybe probably even stuff that Siegel and Schuster weren't even thinking of. And then there's a similar chapter on Batman and a shorter one on, like, Wonder Woman and Captain Marvel and, like, all the early guys. And then it sort of veers from, like, history of superheroes into, like, memoir. And that's when it became less, like, fun because it was mostly talking about, like, I wanted to do something different, so I went to Asia to do drugs. And it's like, okay, well, I don't know how I can relate to that. I guess I have to do that. I knew about what you were talking about before. Yeah, so but it is a cool read, and like he's got some really neat insights in.
What does he say about Superman? Like, does he talk about Superman as like an idol?
Yeah, as like an icon. Like, it's you know, a bunch of people have done this now. And like, this was right after All-Star Superman came out.
Okay.
So if you just read All-Star Superman, you can kind of see what he thinks about Superman. Like, all those are in there, too.
Maybe Zack Snyder should have read that and then made Man of Steel. I'm going to talk about this later in the news, too, because... So David S. Goyer penned the script for Man of Steel and Batman v Superman. Now, we got some good news that they're actually going to be making a Sandman TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And Neil Gaiman's going to be writing it for Netflix, right? But then David S. Goyer also signed on as well, and is going to be scripting
Why?
It. Yeah, and he's fucking terrible.
Yeah, imagine those two guys in a room trying to work together.
Cool.
Yeah.
And well, Neil S. Goyer's like, and then Dream fucking punches right in the face. Like, no, man, come on.
Like, how would they film? One of my favorite scenes in Sandman is in the first book when he has that, like, battle with the demon that stole his... I forget what he stole.
Yeah.
But one of his various artifacts. And so they, like, are describing things that are stronger than the other things. How are they going to make that into a show?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'd love to see them do an animated series, like an adult animated series.
Yeah.
After the success of Spider-Verse, I don't know why more people aren't capitalizing on, like, we can do anything with animation.
Yeah.
Well, I think they've been doing, if you haven't watched Good Omens yet, I think they've been doing a really good job
sure.
with animation in that.
Oh, I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's really beautiful.
With animated segments. All right.
Yeah. And Neil Gaiman scripted the entire show.
Sure. Well, maybe they could do, like, maybe they could marry it and, like, every scene that takes place in the dreaming is animated and every scene that takes place in the real world is something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Or, like, Scanner Darkly. Or what was the other?
Rotoscoping. It makes me so sick.
No, what was the... Oh, Requiem for a Dream? You didn't like...
That's okay. They fixed that up a little bit. But
or, like,
Waking Life, the entire movie is rotoscoped, and I literally almost vomited into my popcorn.
Okay.
I don't think I saw that.
Good
or
dog ever.
A better maybe version would be Tintin.
Oh yeah.
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 But that's like expensive.
It's very.
I don't
expensive.
Think you could do that on a TV. But
and I don't think Netflix is gonna cough up.
Also, where's the second Tintin movie?
Never coming out.
They said they were gonna make three.
Oh, let's do Tintin in the Congo. We have a copy right now.
Really?
The most racist thing
Espanol.
I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You can still kind of read it, though, if you know Spanish.
I guess.
They'll figure it out. Just
I do know people who know Spanish.
It's sequential art.
Yeah. Someone, there's like a fan translation that exists online. I've read all of Tintin except the two that were never like Tintin and the Soviet Union.
Yeah,
which I'm sure is aged probably not worse, but also not well.
Yeah,
and then Congo.
Yeah, we shouldn't have that in the store probably.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It looks like the story itself isn't super bad. Like it seems like just from like scanning it and like a seventh grade understanding of Spanish, it looks like like the Congolese people are like sort of the protagonists and the bad guys. Are like colonial, like safari hat bad guys, but the depictions are whoo boy.
Yeah, well, there's I think this is in Tintin and the Broken Ear, mm-hmm. Which is translated in English and is still readily available mm-hmm. and this remains in print, where Tintin straight up does blackface,
yeah,
as a disguise.
Mm-hmm.
And it's never really like no attention is really drawn to it because these guys think that he's pretending to be an old man, so they grab the old man and like. Mess him up, mm-hmm. and then Tintin's like, no, it was me, and then he takes off his blackface.
God.
And it's just like, oh, smart, and then move right on to the next thing.
Well, Hergé himself had even said, like, I'm really sorry for doing this, so he admitted that it wasn't right to depict people like that.
Yeah.
So that's why it's not printed anymore.
And the way that he made up for it was by never putting black people in his comics again.
Oh, yeah. God.
I'm pretty sure if you read the rest of Tintin, there's just no black characters.
Really? At all?
I don't think so. Like, Tintin never goes back to... he goes to Egypt, but that's, like, different. Yeah. So that is technically Africa, but it's, like, different.
Yeah. Yeah, and he doesn't draw them in that same way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, okay, well...
Anyway.
Moving on. Don't read that.
Taking a hard stance against blackface and the police.
Yeah. Both bad things.
Right. you guys want to talk about it while we're here? You want to talk about Little Mermaid?
Yeah, let's do that. I actually have that in our notes here.
Yeah.
So it came out this week that Little Mermaid has been cast. Of course, Disney has been doing all these live action movies, and that will be the newest one they will ruin. Though, I mean, we haven't seen The Lion King yet. I don't know. I've heard that a lot. I just won't see Aladdin. I won't pay money to see Aladdin.
Sure.
It looks terrible.
Do you think they have to say, like, Lion King, the live action, well, live action in quotation marks, well,
yeah.
It's presumably rated, like, G, right? Or PG.
It's PG, I PG. Believe.
Even though there's
PG-13?
So much nudity in it. frontal at all times.
They're going to cut out the balls. When that lion turns around, it would have huge balls.
Yeah.
Are they going to draw, like, the cat assholes on all of the lions?
Anyone who's ever owned a cat knows.
Yeah.
You see that butthole many times a day.
And that's all they do is sleep, eat, fuck, right?
Yeah.
Well, like, I if you go back and watch the 94 Lion King. The part toward the beginning when Simba's getting a bath is still kind of hard to watch.
Yeah.
Because it's just his mom licking his entire body. And that's what they do, but we don't need to see it.
Yeah.
And now, the live action's going to make it even worse.
Yeah, weird.
They'll probably just dance around it. Or maybe it won't look as weird because they look less human in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't have those, like, kind of human eyes that they draw them with.
And also, it's Pumbaa, right? The warthog?
Yeah.
Yeah, is now played by Seth Rogen.
Right.
We're going to have to picture that.
Yeah.
Like, you see his butthole a lot in the movie, actually.
I wonder what that, when they're called Seth Rogen, to be like, hey, we want you to be the farting hairy monster.
And he's like, okay.
Seth Rogen's like, all right. I guess that was kind of being knocked up.
Yes. the newest one is going to be Little Mermaid.
But I just have to say, the weirdest thing I think about The Lion King is that it's a Disney movie with Eric Andre in it.
Yeah.
He's never done anything family-friendly.
Yeah, the least Disney person of all time.
Who's Eric Andre?
Have you watched the Eric Andre show on Adult Swim?
No.
Okay, you watched Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So he was the guy who worked at the coffee shop.
Masturbating guy?
No.
Oh, okay.
He has been the masturbating guy.
In a lot of his comedy, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But no, I saw him do stand-up in New York, and apparently he does this on many shows where he'll just full-on take his pants and underwear off and then tuck backward like Buffalo Bill.
Yeah.
And then yell out, I was born a woman. Like,
oh, no.
Yeah, he's really, really like, I mean, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to use the term un-PC, but I feel like that's just the best way to put it.
Yeah, he's crazy.
He's crazy.
He's not un-PC in the way that, like free speech white dudes are un-PC.
Yeah, like Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, like if the rappers can say that word, why can't I?
He's right,
not
yeah.
that kind oh,
of un-PC. But yeah, he's like a maniac who like gets naked and publicly does drugs.
Yeah.
And yeah, kind of like... Like, sort of like Jackass style humor, but without the violence, I guess, if that okay. makes sense.
Yeah, nobody gets, like, physically injured.
Yeah.
I mean, he did a prank on in the first season of his show where he, this is something he talked about doing in his stand-up, but he did it for real, where he crashed a Civil War reenactment dressed as a runaway slave.
Yeah. He's awesome.
And he got, and it was him and another black comedian, and they got a white guy to pretend to be, like, the slave catcher to, like, chase them through the reenactment. It was really fucking funny. So that, and now he's in a
and
Disney
now he's
film.
In the Lion King.
Yeah.
Cool.
He's one of the hyenas.
Yeah.
He well, dated Rosario Dawson for a while.
No. Yeah.
And now she's dating Cory Booker. Huge step down. That guy is a nerd who
yeah.
sucks.
Yeah.
Eric Andre rules.
I do fucking love Eric Andre. He's so funny.
Maybe she just had to take a break. Like, she's like,
yeah, that's true.
Ooh, I just needed some time off.
Too much
crazy.
Fun.
Yeah.
When I saw him do stand-up, Hannibal Buress just showed up, and they didn't do material. They just kind of kicked it, and we were all just like, "What? What are we watching?" It was just watching two friends catch up. Nothing funny happened.
Nothing funny.
No. Oh. I mean, like, not like, you know, no, like, you know, because when you see like comedians doing like riffing shows and whatnot, you kind of know that you're in for like a mixed bag.
Yeah.
But this was not what I paid for. I paid to see
comedian
an hour of Eric Andre do stand-up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you know.
Well. At least he's in Lion King.
But I'd fucking go again, so.
Well, we'll see what he does in that. However, in The Little Mermaid.
Right, yes.
Holly Bailey was cast.
Yeah, from Catwoman.
Yeah.
Right, of course.
From John Wick 3.
From Monsters Ball.
From Monsters, yes.
She was in John Wick 3?
She was.
I haven't seen any of the John Wick movies
Ooh,
yet.
Ooh, you gotta watch all of them.
Yeah, I'll
I
probably do that in one
sitting.
I only
saw the first one, and then I didn't want to see anymore. But apparently they don't kill any more dogs.
No, in 3, quite the opposite. The dogs get their revenge.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to say he brings a dog back to life.
Oh, well.
That's the opposite.
Yeah, he rescues a dog at the end of 1.
Sure.
And takes it into 2. And then in 3,
Halle
Berry
dogs, right?
has 2, like, they're not German Shepherds, but they're the Belgian ones.
Belgian
like,
Malinois.
Yeah, she has 2 of those that she's trained as attack dogs, and they bite a bunch of bad guys right in their dicks. Like, multiple times.
Great.
They bite the guy who played Bronn Blackwater in Game of Thrones, Jerome, what's his name?
Oh, sick.
Gets bitten the dick by one of the attack dogs.
Great.
So rad.
Well, that's cool. Well, this is not Halle Berry. It's Holly Bailey.
Gotcha.
Yes.
I genuinely wonder how many angry tweets Halle Berry got.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's also very...
For people who are both racist and bad at spelling.
Yeah, right, exactly. They're like, she's too old!
Big,
she's too black!
Big crossover in that Venn diagram.
Don't have red hair! So, yes. This girl was cast. Apparently, she was originally discovered by Beyonce. She's a really good singer.
Sure.
Her and her sister did, like, YouTube videos of Beyonce songs.
Yeah,
okay.
And then Beyonce was like, wow, she's really good. I'm going to sign her on my label.
And this is going to be another live-action movie, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
But I don't think this girl is actually a mermaid. So.
Yeah, that's true.
People on Twitter are like, there aren't any black mermaids. And I'm like, well, one of those, you're half right.
Yes. I actually tweeted that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not actually any real mermaids.
Yeah, sorry, everybody.
So I hate to disappoint you. This is a fictional story.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. We don't, you were actually talking before we recorded that there's not actually any singing crabs either.
Yeah, like, well, what I'm nervous about is, like, if they make Sebastian look as photorealistic as the animals look in The Lion King or the animals look in Jungle Book,
so
then, like, that's going to be a really jarring, unfun image.
Terrifying.
Like, it's scary looking.
Crabs are creepy.
Like, 14 eyes. They have those little mandibles, like the little fingers that come out of their mouth.
Yep.
Yeah. To eat things. They're like...
Yeah. They're not Jamaican at all.
And also, I'm pretty sure that Sebastian, at various times in the movie, walked forward and backward, which is just unrealistic.
Oh, right. Yeah.
He must have.
Oh, he goes sideways, right? No, he goes forward and backwards.
He does go forward and backward,
Oh, and then flounder, too. Yeah. Are they going to use a real flounder fish? Also very disturbing looking. They are flat. They have eyes on the sides of their heads.
Yeah, those things are gross.
Well, do they explicitly say what kind of fish flounder is?
He's a flounder.
Well, his name is flounder.
He's a flounder.
Okay.
I mean, that's why they call him that, right?
Yeah.
So in the Little Mermaid universe, were all of the fish like had personalities and could talk and stuff.
Yeah.
Because the king at one point, the king guy Poseidon calls. Is that him? Poseidon
king
was the
king. Titan is king his
Titan.
Name, right?
Triton.
Okay. Triton. Triton. Sorry. Yeah. King Titan.
King Titan.
He calls humans.
King Attack on Titan.
Yes. Yeah.
He calls humans like fish eaters, which is like, well, what do the mermaids eat? But they just have human teeth, so they're just down there eating kelp with their regular people teeth? I don't know about that.
I mean,
sharks eat other fish.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Maybe it's like how in BoJack Horseman, they had a whole episode to make it clear that there's like different levels of intelligence in the animals.
Yeah, right. I can see that. Yeah.
So they have to, which I thought was largely unnecessary, but it's still a funny episode. It's a good show.
That show got real dark real quick.
Yeah. Oh, man, the one with his mom's funeral. Was like awesome.
Half hour monologue.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah,
real depressing.
Have you guys watched Tuca and Birdie?
No, not yet. It's
like it's basically if they took like the BoJack Horseman animation style, but the characters were like Broad City, and it was a lot more surreal. All
right.
And so there's
wasn't surreal enough.
Yeah, no, it's like there's lots of really silly, like, visual puns and sight gags.
Yeah.
It's like, it's really, like, it's more fun to watch. Because BoJack, like, the fact that they're animals isn't really necessary.
Yeah.
And, like, the animation style, like, it's kind of a live-action show in many ways. But Tuca and Birdie really leads into the fact that we can do anything with this medium.
That's cool.
I mean, I've only seen the first two episodes, but it's really fun.
Did that just start on?
It's been out for a couple months. Nice. It's Ali Wong and Tiffany Haddish.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh,
and Steven Yeun from Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
He plays Ali Wong's boyfriend.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, it's live action?
No.
Oh.
It's just their voices.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was like, this is getting very confusing. Yeah.
What comics did we read this week?
I forgot this. We don't sell Netflix here.
We sell Netflix stories, right. And actually, we do sell Netflix here.
Which one is that?
This is Space Bandits.
Okay. Oh, yeah, a Millar World property.
Yeah, so basically, if you didn't know, Jacob...
Is this a number one?
It is.
Space Bandits number one by Mark Millar and Matteo Scalera.
Yeah, Netflix owns Mark Millar's soul, as we talk about every time we read a Mark Millar comic. Because basically, when he writes a comic, any of his comics can be turned into a Netflix show now.
Hmm.
The first one will be Jupiter's Legacy.
Yeah, that's right.
So, when did that get announced?
A while ago.
How are they going to do that?
I don't know, that's the first one that's coming out, though.
Yeah.
It's coming out early 2020, I believe. It's already being filmed. Yeah.
Ooh.
I don't know.
With a Netflix budget?
Yeah.
Because I just watched season 3 of Stranger Things, and even that, I was like, this looks expensive. And that's, like, got a following.
Oh, yeah. I think Jupiter's Legacy will do well on Netflix.
Definitely, yeah.
We'll see how... I mean, The Boys isn't a Netflix thing that's on Amazon, I believe. That's coming out soon. Let's see how that does.
Yeah. But that's not Mark Millar.
No. I'm just saying another superhero show.
Sure.
But, like, you know, all superhero.
Right.
Let's see how that does and what the budget is. Yeah. Like that.
And, like, the Tick on Amazon has got a third season now and looks pretty good. Like
also
the
costume,
but it's also
Well, the Tick, you could do the Tick with not that much money.
Yeah, it's supposed to look a little
rubbery. Yeah. Jupiter's Legacy, though, the first part of Jupiter's Legacy, that's gonna be.
Yeah,
I mean, like
there's huge superhero fights and like
a lot of flying.
Yeah, a lot
of
people
destroy,
flying.
Like a world in it.
Oh yeah, a lot of space stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
I guess you could do that on a green screen. I don't know.
Those weird Frank Quietly faces.
Yeah.
I don't think about that.
Squiggly. But, Space Bandits number one. We weren't so sure about this one because of the last one that came out, Sharky the Bounty Hunter.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, it was weird. Like, Sharky was a weird one because it had all of the elements that I like, and then you put them all together, and I somehow still wasn't into the comic at all.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, wow, it's like a cool bounty hunter guy in space going on an adventure with, like, a little sidekick. And like, hell yeah, man. It's, like, right up my alley. But still, yeah, and I got three issues in. I was like, yeah, I don't need this anymore.
Yeah.
Well, I very much enjoyed, was it called Starlight?
Yeah.
The kind of, like, old Flash Gordon?
Yeah.
I thought that was cool. It was... A little predictable, but, like, you know, it was a fun little adventure story for what it was. I think that could work really well. Or Huck.
Huck is great.
Yeah, Huck was fantastic.
Huck is a great example and could definitely be a TV show.
Yeah.
Super easy.
Fairly minimal budget.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. And then Magic Order has been my favorite so far.
Yeah.
Me too, I think. That's going to be on Netflix in probably the next 2 years, I think. You should definitely check that one out, Jacob.
Word.
This one was fun.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. It's like another like space western, and it starts off with like basically a space train robbery.
Yeah,
cool.
Pretty sweet.
That goes bad.
Yeah,
really quickly.
It's this lady leading a band of like the galaxy's four toughest outlaws, and she brought them together to do a series of jobs, and she's like the brilliant mastermind behind him.
Yeah.
Who gets everything done like quickly, efficiently, without violence. Yeah. And then at the end, guess what? They double cross her, man.
Yep. Mm. So she wasn't as smart as she seemed.
Yeah.
And then another girl too, also very, very smart, mm-hmm. is betrayed by her boyfriend.
Yep.
And they both basically end up on like a prison planet together.
Yeah.
Mm. And that's kind of like the introduction to the two characters and the whole first.
So it's
going to
just lead into Bitch Planet, is what you're saying?
Maybe.
No, I think they're going to join forces to get out of the prison and yeah. get their revenge.
Sure. Oh, so yeah. these characters haven't met each other?
No,
no, they meet at the very
yeah,
end of
the film.
Oh, okay, cool.
On a giant lobster.
On a giant lobster.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The giant dead space deity.
See, and that's why you can't make that put that in a Disney movie.
Yeah. Because
it looks really scary.
It's really creepy looking. Yeah. Crustaceans are not camera ready.
No, not at all. So yeah, Mateo Scalera does the art. He's coming off of Black Science just ending.
Oh yeah.
So he needs some new projects.
I lost track of Black Science a long time ago.
Oh yeah, me too. I think that
I
could
forgot
be
about Black Science.
Show as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll definitely read the next issue of this.
I'm already like, I already know that I'm going to stick with this one through all whatever six issues.
Yeah.
Five or six maybe.
Yeah, it's probably going to be six issues. I think all of his books are six issues.
Yeah, I think you're right, yeah.
And then he kind of puts a little bow on it and moves on to the next thing, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
But
I
also
like
leaves them all open-ended so that if he does want to go back and revisit it later, he can.
Or if he does, like, amazing. Like, yeah. Magic Order, I think they're going to do another.
I could see that, yeah.
Did they do... How many issues was Huck?
Six.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like that was left super open-ended. Yeah. I totally assume we were going
to never went back to it.
Yeah. Starlight was like, you're probably done, but you could go back if you want.
Yeah.
They're all like that.
Yeah. And he also makes them, like, at least like the ones that are set, or that are sort of the same genre, are set in universes, or places that could be in the same universe. Like Space Bandits and Sharky could very easily be happening in the same universe. And like Huck and his other like sort of super, the Huck and Kick-Ass could totally coexist in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess he hasn't really done anything else with magic besides Magic Order that I know of.
The one where they died, Reform. No.
That they're making in the Sandra Bullock show.
Yeah.
Reborn.
Reborn. I was like, refresh.
Yeah. Sandra Bullock and Reborn could exist in the same universe.
Yeah. So Sandra Bullock decided after her, what was that one where she,
Bird Box.
Bird Box. Thank you. So after her Netflix fame,
right,
that she wanted to do a new project. So she decided to produce this Reborn series where when you die, you don't actually die. Mm-hmm. You go to a new world and you're reborn as like a new person. And it's like this fantasy world.
And instead of like heaven and hell, they're just like good guys and bad guys.
Yeah.
And if you're a nice person in your life, you go to the good guy area of that world.
Sure.
And if you're mean, you go join the bad guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you fight for the sides.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like heaven and hell, really, but just fantasy.
But like if heaven and hell were constantly fighting one another.
Yeah. Like Dungeons and Dragons.
So it's like the good place with punching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
And like cool creatures and stuff, too.
All right.
Like your dog becomes like a giant dragon or something.
Yeah, yeah. The pets go to heaven, too. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's kind of like Coco.
Yeah, but more fun.
Yeah.
Less sad.
Sure. Coco had a... Well, yeah. I don't want to spoil the ending of a Disney movie, but it's happy.
Also this week, I read Lois Lane.
Ooh.
Also kind of really nice introduction comic.
Mm-hmm.
It basically, Lois is on a case. So Greg Rucka wrote this with really cool art by Mike Perkins. So Rucka, of course, does a detective story.
Sure.
But it's really good. It's not overly wordy. Rucka really puts our politics into this comic. So if you don't want to read about America's politics right now, maybe this isn't the comic for you.
Yes. American, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I love this ad with the superheroes whose heads are goldfish crackers. I was like, what kind of popes are these?
A lot of different flavors of goldfish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Epic crunch. Ooh, honey barbecue.
Okay. honey barbecue, that sounds great.
For a goldfish?
I mean, if it's not cheese as well.
Yeah, I think it is.
What?
Yeah, I think the conceit is that they're cheese.
Yeah, they're
and I'd go cheese ranch. That's cool.
I like nacho.
Nacho, just spicy cheese.
Yeah.
Sure.
Tortilla crunch, big flavor. I guess
tortilla
still...
crunch.
These are tortilla crunch.
Huh. Tortilla crunch for the ranch?
Like a hard taco shell?
like a Dorito, but in goldfish form. Maybe?
I think we're focusing too much on these goldfish.
Well, but this, what if this gets a Netflix show?
Maybe it will.
Watch that.
Just for children.
Like when the crash test dummy guys from the commercials got their own cartoon.
Yeah.
And action figure line briefly. That was weird, man.
Those action figures are great because they'd explode.
Yeah.
And you'd put
them back
together. And then you'd lose the leg or something and just have. Yeah.
It was all about teaching kids about how you could die in a car accident.
Right.
It's a valuable lesson.
And yet, people still don't wear seatbelts on Stranger Things.
Yeah, that's
true. Well, that was in the 80s.
Yeah, but we knew.
People were resistant. People are still, like, motorcycle guys are very resistant to helmet laws in a lot of cases.
Yeah, in Florida, they don't wear helmets.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, why? And what if you get in an accident? You're going to die.
Yeah. I mean, now we have the Lime scooters or the various scooters that are just popping up in every major city in the world.
Someone's going to die on pretty soon.
Oh, they already have.
Oh, really? It's definitely happened. But, like, I mean, you check off the, I know what I'm doing and I'm not drunk, and you know people are drunk.
Yeah, why else would you be riding a latch?
Like, I literally went from, I did it last week, and I was like, I was at one bar, and we're like, hey, we're going to go to another bar. And I'm like, cool, so we'll get like a car or a lift or something. Okay. And they're like, oh no, there's Lime scooters out over there, we're just going to hop on those. And I'm like, oh, but like, you guys are not as drunk as I am. And so then I tried it. I rode for a whole $2.
Yeah.
And then I was like, great, Lyft still works.
I saw a teen couple doubled up on one of those scooters the other day. It was adorable.
That's pretty cute.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Have fun, you guys.
I saw a pile of them in Lake Merritt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that.
People are doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was fun. What is also fun in this is apparently Lois has been having some sexy problems in this comic.
Oh, no.
So I guess there was a picture taken of her and Superman
kissing or something?
Smooching on the mouth.
Yeah. And so now everyone's calling her a slut.
Aw.
Because, you know, everyone knows that she's married to Clark, so they think that she's cheating on Clark with Superman. So everyone's calling her names now in the media.
Wait, does she know? I guess I haven't been following the news too. Does she know that Clark and Superman?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah.
They brought that back.
She's aware, yeah.
Okay,
she's
cool.
Totally aware. She also, there's a bunch of stuff that's happened. I haven't been reading the regular Superman comics, so some of this was very confusing.
Sure.
Because Greg was supposed to put, you know, the other stuff that's happening in the world into this comic.
Yeah, this is like directly spinning off of Action Comics, I think.
Yeah,
right?
And I was like, I don't know what's happening. But he does it enough where I was, or doesn't do it too much where I was like, nah, I don't want to read this anymore. He puts it in, he's a good, you know, he's a good writer, so.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it overall, two thumbs up for Lois Lane. And I'm glad they didn't call it Lois Lane, or Superman's girlfriend Lois Lane.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen. Right?
Yeah, who's
Fraction.
Matt Fraction's writing
that?
Yeah,
nice. Matt Fraction and Steve Lieber.
Oh, sweet.
So the art's going to be great in that one, too. Oh, yeah, the question pops up too.
Oh, right, the Rene Montoya question.
Yeah, so they're basically, the main plot is the Russians are killing people for information, and Lois Lane has found the story and is bringing it back into the Daily Planet, and they're telling her not to print it because she's going to lose her life over it.
If I'm not mistaken, Rene Montoya became the question in the 52 series, the weekly series. That was ages ago.
Yeah.
And they didn't get rid of that. That's so cool.
No.
Good for her.
Yeah. Not much more.
Yeah, two thumbs up.
What else did we read?
Did you get to Sea of Stars?
I
have been looking forward to this for a long ass time, and that's the one comic this week that I didn't get to. But I don't mind spoiling, because I'm going to read it as soon as I get home anyway.
No, I only read parts of it.
Okay. So. It looks bad.
I brought it up. I thought you read it.
No, it's what is it, Jason Aaron?
Yeah, Jason Aaron. Dennis Hallam.
Yeah.
Wrote it with, but that's actually Dennis Hopeless. He just changed his name. So when I ordered this, I was not aware that he wrote this comic.
Neither was I.
It didn't say his name
until
on
I saw the cover.
Mm-hmm.
Which is it's a weird pairing. Like, it doesn't make sense.
No.
Because has Dennis Hopeless done much work with Image or many creator-owned things?
No, he mostly writes for Marvel.
Yeah, I mean, you know what my theory is? Like, maybe they became friends.
Yeah.
And Jason Aaron was like, hey, let's, like, work together.
Yeah.
I'm good at writing, and you know how to, also.
It could have also been like, we have this story together.
Right.
I'll put my name on it.
Yeah.
You write the story. You script it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is Jason Aaron still doing Marvel stuff?
Okay. Yeah, he's exclusive to Marvel for superheroes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He does, Conan, Thor.
Is he doing one of the Avengers now?
Yes.
Wait, Conan's back at Marvel?
Yeah.
What did that happen?
There's like three different Conan books now.
Right now. There's going to be four.
Are they moving?
Yeah, and they're pretty good, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
If
I'm always, like, so... Because I... have never really given a shit about Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like that was like the maybe two generations ahead of me.
Totally.
But yeah. But are there like young Conan fans?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And he's like a...
I mean, I'm 30, but still.
Yeah. He's still like, kind of sort of like just a blank canvas of a character that like where his personality, like his character traits aren't major parts of the story. The story's more, they're all more about the world that he lives in and mm-hmm. like the peripheral characters.
Yeah.
Okay.
He really has very little personality as a character.
That does make sense why they would cast young Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, exactly.
Before he really knew what he was doing.
He can't talk so good, but who cares? Yeah. He doesn't have to.
This is, everyone has this accent in Samaria or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this one's about like a father-son story, which he does really well. Like there's a... Yeah, right.
Literally on the back, it just says, a father, a son.
Yeah.
And a whole lot of space between them. Mm-hmm. And both in the story and literally on the back of the page is like big... Like a full inch and a half.
Yeah. You're so creative over there.
And that's been a major theme in a lot of his stuff. Like Scalped had major father-son storylines. Men of Wrath. Over There, his first like series that he ever did was basically his dad's story of his dad's experience in Vietnam. Huh. So he has like a ton of like father-son storylines going on.
Is Southern Bastard still going?
It's coming back soon.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Oh,
and that's, a ton of father. Oh, it's father-daughter.
Father-son. Has she like come into the story yet?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, I got
to catch up. That storyline is about to jump off. Like the forget what the daughter Tubbs, Regina Tubbs maybe?
Sure.
Versus Coach Boss is about to start happening.
Regina Tubbs.
She's just mad at him for giving her that name.
Right.
All right, well, we'll get to see if Star then later.
Wait. Well, we're about ready for news time. Is there any more reviews this week? I read Thumbs number 2, the Sean Lewis Hayden Sherman thing.
Book.
First issue was great. Second issue, equally great. Story keeps going. We learn more about the world. It's great. And I think it's going to be a really good series.
Yeah, Jacob, if you want to read a great science fiction comic, pick up Thumbs 1 and 2.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's a futuristic story about gamers.
Oh,
it doesn't suck.
Okay.
But it's like spin.
Did you like Ready Player One?
This is so much better.
This is completely
It's more like Ender's Game.
Yeah, that's true.
I didn't care for that much either.
No, the book.
Oh, okay.
Right,
All right, let's take a quick break and get on to the news.
Yeah.
If you enjoyed the show, tell a friend and rate and review on iTunes or Stitcher.
Or come visit us at the store at Escapist Comics. We're located at 3090 Claremont Ave in Berkeley, California.
Or you can find us online at escapistcomics.com or on Twitter at Escapist Comics or send us an email at hello@escapistcomics.com. Put podcast in the subject line.
You can find Jesse on Twitter or Instagram at Jesse the Head.
And you can find Jessica on Twitter at Violet's Victory or on Instagram at Jessa Rossi.
And we're back.
Yeah, that was a good break.
Woohoo! We talked about stuff.
Yeah, we got some news sorted out.
All right. Well, Kashiro Otomo is about to create a new anime series for Akira.
Nice.
It'll be part 2, which I believe Netflix is picking
up. Wait, a sequel
like
to Akira?
A direct
sequel? Yeah.
Wait, is that the original creator of Akira?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Good.
Yeah. But there's, like, no date for it. He will be writing and directing it, though.
Sure.
So that's good.
Wow. Okay, well.
Is he still active in other manga? Because I guess I don't... I know him as the creator of Akira, but I don't know anything else that he's done.
I don't
or
think
if he's
so.
Done anything
he
else.
Has his own animation studio, though.
Okay. And Akira was a super long-running manga series, like we know, of the one surprisingly long movie.
Yes. And they never actually finished. I mean, like, the movie's just really the movie.
Yeah,
they really
actually
do the whole... book series.
Yeah.
So I guess the sequel will just be the rest of the series.
Right, yeah. Which is cool.
It's another movie. Oh, okay, yeah. Well, then if they never adapted the rest of the series, then that totally makes sense. That's something they could do.
Because, six total volumes of the main storyline.
And those
the movie,
are all super big.
Yeah, and the movie maybe covers the first or like
it's
most
just
of the
first of it.
Yeah.
The first book.
Oh, that's overdue.
And they also kept saying they're going to make a movie. Mm-hmm. Like a live-action movie?
Yeah, Leonardo DiCaprio was like on and off for a while.
Yeah, and then Jordan Peele was supposed to direct for a while, and that fell through. And then a bunch of directors have signed on,
so
we don't really know what's happening with that. So just do this.
And after the Battle Angel Alita live-action movie, I think Hollywood might be shying away from live-action adaptations of anime. And
how many good ones have there been?
None.
Because I can recall, we had a Dragon Ball movie, which sucked out loud. Uh-huh. We never got an American, like, there's never been an American Sailor Moon movie or One Piece or Naruto or Yu Yu Hakusho or Rurouni Kenshin. Or, I mean, like, all these Bleach, all these huge, staggeringly successful.
Yeah.
And we've never gotten an American live-action version. Most of the time, there's just been zero, and then they rarely work. Oh, Ghost in the Shell.
Right, yeah, true.
Terrible.
Detective Pikachu, kind of.
Was it a manga?
Well, no. I guess it was based on the Pokemon.
It was based on the...
It was originally a card game and then a manga.
Oh, it was originally a video game.
A video game, yeah.
Oh, really?
That came first, yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought it was a card game.
No.
Huh.
Video game, then card game, which got bigger than the video game, obviously.
Yeah. not... Oh, wait.
The card game?
The card game did not get bigger than the video game.
No?
No.
How's that?
No one plays the card game anymore.
Yes, they do.
Well, okay.
They sell so many Pokemon cards.
Not no one, but like, compared to the success of the... Well, maybe it's just the circle I hang out in, but like, I feel like the card game is kind of just like kids, whereas the video game is like... If you're new or still with Pokemon.
Yeah.
Like, whenever they announce the new starters, like, the whole internet, like, that's all they talk about for that, like, for those, like, 2 days.
You're not talking about Pokemon Go, right?
No, I'm not talking about Pokemon Go. Yeah. I'm talking about, like, because Sword and Shield is the next gen about to come out. Because they've run out of colors, I guess. Red, blue, gold, silver, box, circle, turtleneck, I don't know.
There's like pearl and...
Diamond and pearl,
platinum.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
They did precious stones, they did metals, they did X and Y.
Yeah, black and white.
Black and white, yeah. And now, I feel like I'm missing... And then Sword and Shield, that's the new one. Yeah. And the Pokemon that are on the covers, one of them's body is a sword and the other one's head is a big old shield.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Who wins in that battle, man?
I don't know.
Yeah.
You have to buy both games.
There's 850 Pokemon now. I think. And they add more on each treatment.
Every generation. And then they put out the cards with them, too. I mean,
every generation, there's a new Pokemon.
Right. If I had to guess, I would say that the video games generate more revenue than the card game.
Wow.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I don't have, the numbers.
Is Pokemon Go still happening? People doing that? Are they still adding stuff?
Well, now there's Harry Potter.
I haven't heard anything.
Yeah, now there's a Harry Potter one.
Yeah.
I follow Megan Amram on Twitter.
Yeah.
Super funny comedy writer, if you don't follow her. She wrote for Parks and Rec. She's written books and whatnot. She's super, super funny. And she tweeted the other day, I downloaded Pokemon Go the day it came out 3 years ago, and because of this app, I've left the house every day. Thank you, Pokemon Go.
Wow. Aww.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's been 3 years, man.
Yeah.
That was a wild 2.5 or 3 weeks when everyone was playing Pokemon Go. That was nuts.
I feel like it was a few months, and then it petered. And then I got a phone that could play it because I had an old shitty phone. And then people stopped caring. And then they rolled out the third generation. The ones from Ruby and Sapphire are now in the game. Mm-hmm. And I think they saw like a slight uptick. But it's one of those games that I think will always be able to sustain itself.
Yeah,
You know, it'll take a lot of people to stop playing altogether. Yeah. But then there was the Harry Potter one, which was huge.
It's like the same game, but with Harry Potter.
Wait, that you could like capture Harry Potter and make him fight a different Harry Potter.
Yes,
so
I
don't have it, but my friend had it, and when I was visiting her in DC, I played it a bit. And basically, you're not a Hogwarts student, you're like an adult, and you have like a wizard job. And there's different artifacts that you go and collect, and you collect them by casting spells. And spells are like you draw different symbols on your phone. Okay. So you like do like this triangle thing with a line through it to do this, and do like this circle with a squiggly to do this. So you do like different. You learn, quote unquote. I'm doing air quotes. different spells.
Okay. Right.
And then as you learn more spells, you can capture more different things.
Yeah.
So it's a neat idea.
And you can take a picture of yourself and design like what you want to look like in the game.
Yeah.
Right. And like, so it's a little more involved, I think, than the Pokemon Go.
And it links to that thing Pottermore, which was a thing that people are still really into. It's got like the definitive Hogwarts sorting quiz.
I do have a Pottermore.
Yeah. Cool. And so you can link your, I think it's called Wizards Unite is the name of the app. You can link your Wizards Unite to your Pottermore account, and then you unlock more stuff. So I don't know. I haven't played it, and I'm good.
And if you go to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, like links to like stuff from there too. So it's very involved for Harry Potter fans, which is cute.
Yeah, I went to when I was in England in December. Early January, I went to the studio tour, which is just north of London, where it's the actual building where they shot all the movies, and they've got all the sets like still up in some capacity. It's basically just a big museum, and it's really fucking cool.
Yeah,
But then it's about the movies, not about the book. So a lot of people are like, this isn't how it was in the books. And I'm like, yeah, idiot. Because we're at a movie museum. Yeah.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah. It's an amazing universe that J.K. Rowling needs to stop adding stuff to.
Yes.
Yeah.
Please stop.
It's kind of run its course.
Yeah.
What it feels like.
Mm-hmm. Did you see the last movie? The Beast of...
No, I only watch good movies.
Place or whatever. Okay.
The Crimes of Grindelwald.
That's right.
I was really turned off by it because... So Johnny Depp was in the first Fantastic Beast movie as like a twist.
Yeah.
And then fans are like, oh, but he's like a creep now. We don't like him anymore.
Yeah.
And so then he was only in a tiny... He was in one scene. He had like two lines in that movie.
Yeah.
So easily could have been taken out and replaced. But J.K. Rowling was like, no, it has to be Johnny Depp. We have to put him in this movie. And like, wow, what a weird hill to die on.
Oh, yeah.
Like...
I know.
Get anybody.
Replace him with Jude Law.
Well, he was in it.
Oh, yeah. Wait, he was?
Playing somebody else. He's
really?
Young Dumbledore.
Oh. Yeah. That's
replace
weird.
Him with, who was the other guy?
Well, Jude Law was Young Dumbledore.
Yeah.
And the Young Pope.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of young range. Jesus guy and an occult
guy. You know,
it's
really funny because they're in the Terry Gilliam movie together.
Right. Imaginary of Dr. Parnassus.
Yeah, and play this, like, the same actor.
Yeah, and then who was the third guy? We should get him to come back.
Colin Farrell.
And Heath Ledger, who died.
Yeah, I know. That's the whole point.
Yeah, the whole point.
It's actually four people.
It was supposed to be Heath Ledger the whole time.
Yeah. It's a good movie if nobody's seen it.
I found that it wouldn't have been so successful if it hadn't been Heath Ledger's last movie.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mostly nobody has seen it. I put on movies at the brewery.
Yeah. Sure.
And people always ask, hey, what movie is this? Like, everybody.
Yeah.
And when I put that movie on, they're like, oh, my God, what movie is this? It's so cool looking. I'm like,
I mean, Terry Gilliam movies, I think, are great, like, on in a bar where you, because you can just look over and be like, this is so cool looking,
right.
I don't really have to know the story.
Yeah.
Which is good, because even if you watch it, you don't really know the story.
That's true. Especially that one.
Yeah.
I thought it was great.
I didn't really know what was happening.
Yeah. No. Just watch Baron Munchausen.
Sure, Baron Munchausen's great.
Yeah.
Brazil.
Yeah. In fun casting news, Paul Rudd has just joined the cast of Ghostbusters 3.
Sick.
Yay!
Yeah. What do we know about this movie besides Paul Rudd?
Well... nothing really.
Okay. I mean, all the original cast is back.
Yeah, they're even keeping like a tight lid on that. Uh-huh. Supposedly, all the original cast is back.
I mean, I feel like Ernie Hudson's chilling by the phone.
Yes. Hey, he's supposed to be really nice.
They're not. No, he is super nice. I met him at a convention once. He's
That's
super
right,
chill.
You did.
Yeah. Like, I mean, he's like, well, we're not getting a Crow 2, so.
Yeah. Well, we know Jason Reitman's directing, Ivan Reitman's son,
right. Who I enjoy basically all of his movies.
He's done a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, he's done good stuff. There's another, it's supposedly, like, about a family who's being haunted, I've heard.
Okay.
Paul Rudd is a school teacher, so I'm going to guess he's, like, the little girl's teacher.
Right, okay.
Jason Reitman said in an interview that he had a dream about making this movie, and it was about a little girl who was being haunted.
Okay. So they're going to go after a specific ghost, maybe, like, kind of an exorcist type of deal.
Maybe.
So it'll be like
a
smaller story than, like, save all of New York.
Yeah.
It's taking place in a different town. It's not taking place in New York.
Okay.
That's what I've read so far.
Interesting.
Yeah. And Sigourney Weaver is also in it.
Okay.
I don't think Rick Moranis is going to be in it, though.
He doesn't act anymore, which sucks.
Yeah. I know. Maybe he will come back for this, though.
Right.
Wouldn't that be cool?
I think he's just, like, from what I heard, he quit acting. He quit entertainment to raise his kids.
Yeah. Didn't his wife die? And then he...
Oh, really?
I think that's
really
kind of a tragic...
Like
okay,
yeah.
What I was going to be like, your kids are like 20. Like, you could hang out on a movie set for 8 weeks.
Yeah. I don't think Annie Potts has done anything in a while either.
True.
So.
No.
Yeah.
No, she's definitely been in something recently. Hold on. Yeah, I definitely saw her and I was like, oh, cool. Like, I don't remember what it was. Hold on. Annie Potts.
This is exciting podcasting.
Yeah, what about Sigourney Weaver?
She's been in a ton of stuff.
You guys can keep talking. I just have to Google something.
Well, they're all...
She's the voice of Bo Peep in all the Toy Story movies, so she was in Toy Story 4.
Okay.
Yeah, so that is a recent thing.
Mm. Well, I'll definitely see it. I love Ghostbusters. And I kind of think it's like shitty that they're like, oh, we are making Ghostbusters 3. Hey, dudes, don't worry. That other Ghostbusters movie, it means nothing now.
And, like, I rewatched it. I remember when it came out, I saw it in theaters and I liked it. Then I rewatched it and I'm like, this is fine, but I don't know why they had to make it Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Because I thought that it was so different. It wasn't really a remake or a reboot. It was kind of just like, we're going to make references to this other movie, but like, it was just completely different.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could have been its own thing.
Yeah. Okay. And I feel like we should have more movies that are their own thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, not everything needs to be a reboot or a sequel.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's plenty of screenwriters out there that have made scripts that are like, please, Hollywood, make this movie. And Hollywood's like, no, this is going to make more money.
I remember I was rattling off a list of movies that I wanted to see. This was like, a couple years ago now, but I was like, every one of these movies that I'm really excited about is either part of a franchise or is Baby Driver.
I did like Baby Driver.
And it was great.
It was a good movie.
I watched it again. It was really good.
In sad news this week, Mad Magazine is on his last leg and it's being canceled.
Yeah.
I'm most worried about this because AT&T, as we know, has bought Warner Brothers and DC Comics.
Oh, yeah.
The conglomerate. Is this, like, a sign to come? Because also Vertigo has been canceled as well.
Sure.
Though Vertigo has had terrible sales, and, like, DC has kind of messed that whole thing up. But Mad, I feel, has been selling very well. Yeah, not like, just at steadily. Our store.
Well, like, Mad had, like, they had a brief boost when they had that animated series on, was it on Cartoon Network or something? They had a cartoon.
Did they?
Yeah.
Was it like a cartoon sketch show?
Oh, yeah. The Spy versus Spy thing.
No, it was the Mad show. It was just Mad. Huh. And it wasn't Mad TV, that sketch show from which was 90s, 2000s, which wasn't funny. It had a lot of real... Hey, that's how... It kept money in Jordan Peele's pocket for a long time, so that's great. We wouldn't... Without Mad TV, we wouldn't have had Key and Peele, and that was a great show.
Yeah.
But... but then this is, and it was explicitly targeted at kids.
Right.
Like, it was lots of parodies of, like, various shows on Cartoon Network and, like, kids' movies. Yeah. And, like, they still had Spy vs. Spy, but it wasn't as, like, bloody. Mm-hmm. I guess Spy vs. Spy wasn't really bloody. It was kind of more.
It was black and white.
Explosive, yeah.
Yeah, like cartoon, like, Bugs Bunny style violence.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very Tex Avery, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I guess that show got canceled.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mad last year moved to the West. I was just reading about this.
Yeah.
They moved to the West Coast and restarted at number one.
Which is weird.
Right, yeah.
Like every.
They never needed to do that.
Yeah.
I know, like everything. They're like, oh, we'll do a reboot because that'll work. And it's like, we still have kids like coming in asking for subscriptions.
Mad. Yeah.
You know, they want to tear out the little card and send it in and do subscriptions and stuff, which kids don't ever do.
I had a subscription to Mad Magazine when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I loved getting it every month or every 8 weeks or whatever.
Now, one thing they did do wrong, I know for a fact, is they made Mad very adult this past year.
They did, yeah.
Like, we would
read a lot of Trump parodies.
A lot of Trump parodies, a crazy amount. And they were, like, definitely, I would say 14 and up, for sure.
Yeah.
If not older. A lot of sex references.
Yeah.
And I was, like the tape, like, the peeing tape references and stuff like that. And you're like, I don't know, guys. Like,
that is kind
little
of,
old.
I think that's kind of an edge that comedy's just taking right now. Like, if you look at, like, I mean, this isn't a great example, but Jimmy Fallon used to be completely apolitical, and now you have to talk about politics.
Yeah.
So, and I think that you can't talk about politics without getting angry.
Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah, it's all pretty bad.
Yeah.
There's nothing good happening.
I don't want, Conan has managed to stay kind of out of it. He'll, like, make little jokes and whatnot, but he's, like, completely staying out. But, like, Fallon has to talk about it.
Right.
And it's not fun to hear someone who kind of is also trying to have no stance.
Yeah, to just be a goofball.
Yeah.
Right. I don't even mind, like, them talking about Trump or whatever being funny. Like, a lot of the kids laugh about it.
Sure.
It's just, like, the sex stuff. And, like, they're just taking it a little too far.
Yeah.
You know, and where kids, like, you know, get a parent reading that and they're like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Like, gotta put this back.
Yeah.
Is that kind of what, like, Cracked was? Cracked was, like, sort of, like, the teen version of Mad, and Mad was more for, like, sort of all ages.
Kind of. Cracked was definitely a lot more... like sexually
National Lampoon's was
like
sex.
The adult
that was the adult.
Oh, National Lampoon was like
it's got poon literally. Right in the title.
It's got tits on the cover.
Did you see the movie the movie about National it was Lampoon's. Will Forte playing the founder one of the founders of National Lampoon. It was really good. Doug Henney
because he killed himself.
He did. Which they kind of throw you like they I was like, oh, yeah, I thought he killed himself, but then, like, it's narrated by his future self, who's played by Martin Mull.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Sweet. And then it's not till the end of the movie where you find out, like, oh, I would never existed. He died before he got to be this old.
Oh.
I didn't know any of that.
But they had, like, Joel McHale playing Chevy Chase.
Yeah.
And, like, they show, like... Yeah. And
they're both assholes.
Right. No, it's on Netflix. It's really good.
Oh, sweet.
And it's about, like, you know, the beginning. And they talk explicitly about how Doug Henney hated Lorne Michaels because he basically stole all his guys.
Yeah. Also, in our kind of like our store news, Michael Chabon has been named the showrunner 2 months into the filming of Picard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was writing on it, right?
He was one of the writing staff. Yeah, he was one of the
scriptwriters. And then they fired the showrunner, yeah. I guess.
And they're like, hey, Michael, be the showrunner.
Yeah.
And we're like, sweet.
I'm excited to see what a Picard-specific show. Is he captain still, or what's he doing?
I think it's a prequel about him coming up through Starfleet.
But it's still Patrick Stewart.
No, but it's Patrick Stewart.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, so I think it's after.
Maybe they'll do, like, it'll be like Wet on American Summer, where he's just like, hey, guys, I'm 19.
But he's always been bald.
Right.
And they're getting really good at that young effect.
Yeah, that's true.
Where they make him, like, young. I mean, I can do it with a Snapchat filter.
Like in Tron Legacy, where they made basically Muppet Jeff Bridges?
they didn't have that yet.
That was bad.
That was really bad. No, yeah. What is the movie that I've seen recently? Really
Michael Douglas got young and... Oh, in Ant-Man.
Oh, yeah, But even, like...
And Greg Kinnear, too.
Oh, Captain Marvel with Sam Jackson. They made him really young.
Well, Sam Jackson... looks like he could be in his mid-40s right now.
Yeah, he's always been 43.
And he's almost 80.
Since he was, 19.
Like, if you watch Jurassic Park, and then you watch Captain... And then you watch, like... He's in Far From Home, Spider-Man Far From Home.
Yeah, yeah.
Those movies could have been shot, like, a year apart.
Yeah.
That's true. I mean, Patrick Stewart actually doesn't look much different.
Yeah.
Watch the first episode of Next Gen and say that to
him. He's gotta smooth like, it
you,
out.
You watch, like, smooth I don't out. Know the show that he's on right now, that David Boreanaz is on right now. But you're like,
there's
why
a show
what?
That David Boreanaz
and
is on right
it's
now?
It's on, like, premium cable, and it's definitely in its first season, and apparently is doing well enough.
Huh. He looks old, though, compared to Angel.
Right, but then you go back and watch, like if you watch the first season of Buffy and the first episode of Buffy and the last episode of Angel, you're like, oh, the vampire got old and fat. They're not supposed to do that.
Well, he's an alcoholic, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
David Boreanaz is?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
Man.
I think he, like, hit his wife. Well, I can only make that up. That might be a made-up thing. It's Xander, definitely, though.
Oh, yeah, Xander fucked up.
Yeah.
Nicholas Brennan fucked up.
His twin, though, is okay.
Sure. His twin, who was the reason he went to the audition, they both auditioned to play Xander, and they got the one who didn't care.
Yeah.
And then the twin was in, he was only in the episode where Xander splits in two.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know they were twins.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's sad. It couldn't have been the good one.
Yeah.
It's real life, that Simpsons episode where Sideshow Bob's brother auditions to be Krusty's sidekick, whoa, and then Bob gets the part.
Oh, or the Bart episode where they tie up the bad Bart upstairs, or the...
Oh, the Halloween episode?
Hugo. And Hugo actually ends up
being the nice one.
Maybe that's what happened with Xander. Like, the bad twin wanted the role so bad that he kidnapped and imprisoned his good brother, who was the one that got the role, and then the bad one was the one on the TV show who's now beating up his wife and stuff.
So that was like a sister switch.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Where's that episode? Where's that reboot?
Well, she's on that show on, what is it, not Good Morning America.
It's like
the Verve.
It's like The View, but...
Urban?
Urban, thank you.
Urban View.
I was just going to say it's The Black View.
Yeah,
but yeah. It's called The Real. It's called The Real.
Yeah, yeah, see?
Yeah.
I was like, never mind.
That's great, dude.
Yeah.
When white people are like, yeah, you know who exists. Black people. They might enjoy a television show like this as well.
Right.
Yeah. They have a bunch of different minorities on, actually.
Right, yeah.
One's Asian.
Sure. It's just the not white view.
The not white view.
It's not just a bunch of white ladies.
Isn't the view? Isn't like Megan?
Megan McCain.
Megan McCain on that?
Yeah, she's still on it.
Yeah, wow. She's about to. I think she's about to quit, or she's like talking about how she wants to quit.
Good,
because she's the only conservative, and we don't like them anymore.
No.
Yeah, she's just.
And she
wrong
always
about
says,
everything.
"Can I object on this?
Yeah.
Can I say something?
Can I say something?
Did you watch last week tonight? Yeah. Someone made a supercut of every time she says, "Can I just say something? Can I just say something?
Yeah.
Oh, she's awful.
And they're like, "No.
My father was a war criminal who everybody thought was cool for a little while, but now we're kind of coming around.
Well, just when he was dying,
though,
and had brain cancer.
Right.
Then he
Before
was
that,
okay.
When he was just voluntarily bombing Vietnam.
Right. Speaking as the only person here who had a father. That's forcing from, his that's way from into
the airplane.
Yeah. Yeah.
She, oh, boy.
Definitely.
It sucks. Is really fun just to see her get constantly dunked on.
Oh, my God. Seth Meyers dunked on her. Did you
really?
See that? Yeah. He had her on the show. So I don't, I can't watch Seth Meyers, like, but like I could watch the clips on YouTube. And there was like a 13-minute one with her. And I'm like, ooh, whoa. What did they talk about? And the beginning is like such charming, like nice patter, like patter. And then he's just like, so you made this really awful comment about this Muslim woman. And then she goes into full defensive and he goes into like, he's so even handed.
Yeah.
It's really fun to watch her like be like, oh man, watching this live ambush of a person who like seems so nice, but you're like, oh, but you're like a, you are like, you don't like abortion. You don't like, oh, like you suck. Like, and then just the fact that she like had to, oh man, it was great. You should
it's kind of nice to see like as a society that we're coming around to the realization, like just cause someone's like polite and like well-spoken doesn't mean they're a good person or that you should listen to or respect their opinion in any way. Like, it's great. I love it.
Yeah. People are like, well, you know, maybe these Nazis have a point. We should listen to them. No, we definitely shouldn't.
We should definitely
There's two sides to every issue. Like, but sometimes one of the sides is completely wrong.
Yeah.
So.
Sometimes one of the sides is like, we should kill Jews. And the other side's like, well, let's listen for a second.
Sure.
I don't think we should kill Jews. We've got to hear both sides.
We've got to give both time, but equal time.
Yeah, that's freedom of speech.
Yeah.
So Spider-Man Far From Home came out this past weekend. The last movie in the Phase 3 of the Marvel movies.
Sure.
Me and you saw it, Jacob.
Yes. We can't explicitly talk about
it. Yeah, I can't really talk about it. I thought it was fun.
Haven't seen it yet.
It's still pretty new. I feel like spoilers... I feel like the open season on spoilers is like, what, 2 weeks?
I think that's a fair statute.
Yeah. If you really care.
Okay.
If you really care. Yeah, like Avengers Endgame, I definitely gave it a month because that was a very spoilery movie for sure. And yeah, like soon
unless you saw the trailer for Spider-Man Far From Home.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was the third trailer? I think it was the third trailer.
But like when Endgame came out, that was the trailer with it, and they sent it to the theaters and said, play this after the movie, and a lot of theaters didn't do that.
Yeah.
So they spoiled the ending. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously there's a lot of things that they didn't spoil, but the big thing...
Yes.
Can we talk
about that? Yeah, we can talk about that.
Iron Man dying
was
in the trailer that happened before you watched the movie where Iron Man dies. Right. I think that's so funny.
It's really funny.
But also, I'm glad I didn't see it.
I didn't get that trailer.
This is maybe a spoiler, but I want to know about Spider-Man. Does Hydro Man appear in it?
Yeah.
Because that was the big speculation, and then people rushed out to every comic book store to pick up Spider-Man 262 because it was Hydro-Man's first appearance. Because in the trailer, it looked like Spider-Man was getting shot with water. And went, you gotta go get Hydro-Man's first appearance because it's gonna skyrocket.
Well, you caught that little moment.
Yeah.
So, no.
No.
Okay. Sweet. Well, good.
But when you see it, you'll see why I took that pause.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Sweet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I just think it's fun. I just wanted to say no because I think it's funny that everybody bought that issue.
I do think,
especially from us.
Yeah.
We literally sold.
So you guys are like, let me put a zero on this price tag real quick.
My only thing without being spoilery about that is that I wish they cast somebody else as Mysterio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
actually, I just wish they did a lot of different.
Jake Gyllenhaal's a fine actor, but it's like it was similar to like Jamie Foxx's Electro. Like, this is like you're a great actor, but like this is a part for someone else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They should have cast Rey Mysterio. Tiny little Mysterio flying around off the ropes. That'd be awesome.
You know who I would have liked? You know who I think could have done it and still been like a creep, but also like handsome? Justin Theroux. As
Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Theroux?
Oh, wrong name. That's Justin Trudeau.
Oh, you're right.
I said the right thing. Yeah. Okay. But you know what? Yeah, I don't hate it.
I don't hate it either. I think he might have been better.
Yeah.
He sometimes gives off that vibe.
Yeah.
He's also very handsome.
It's interesting that you said that specific, because I was texting with Stephen Koo, our good friend Stephen Koo, about this exact movie. And like we're talking about the possibility, this isn't really a spoiler, but the possibility of bringing back Mysterio in a later movie. But his autocorrect changed it to bringing Barack Mysterio to a later movie.
Whoa.
So basically have Mysterio assume the form or print an image of Barack Obama to track Spider-Man. That's not an impossible get.
He's a master illusionist.
Right.
Yeah. That's his thing.
And I feel like if they were like, we want to freak out Spider-Man and also the fans, could we get Barack Obama to be in this movie? Obama would be like, maybe.
They signed a Netflix deal. Like, it seems like they're trying to transition into the entertainment industry.
Mm-hmm. It's going to going to be the weirdest podcast. And a visual one? I don't know.
Watch it be just about, like, science fiction novels. What's Malia reading these days?
And gardening. Michelle will cover that part.
Every episode's about a different vegetable.
Oh, man. So a lot of people are wondering what's going to be next in the Marvel world. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man, Far From Home, make sure you stay. There's two end credits. Yep. The second one is much better. The end of the movie.
Credits. Well, there's a mid-credit scene and a post-credit scene.
The post-credit scene is the one you really should stay for.
Endgame didn't have one, so I feel like people thought that they were done with that.
Everybody left my theater except for like four people. Sure. And my theater was pretty packed, and I was like... People are idiots. Yeah. Look, it's a Marvel movie. That's what are you doing?
This is an irritating thing about the MCU movies is that I feel like a lot of their function is to set up the next one.
Yeah.
And so they kind of seem like more like chapters in a story as opposed to their own movies. Yeah. So if you leave before the end credits, then it is just a movie.
Right.
But if you stick around, then so it's like, which experience do you want? I want my money's worth, thank you. Yes. I want to see every minute of this movie.
I want all of it. Yeah. we're trying to figure out what they're setting up for the next movie. I don't really know if they gave you that. It was very hard to figure out for me, and we don't want to spoil it.
Right.
Anyways, these are the movies that they might be setting up. Definitely not this one. Black Widow prequel movie.
Sure.
Supposedly the next
movie. In production.
It's in production. That supposedly is going
to
be the next
one. Yeah, it's kind of like a spy thriller. That'd be cool.
Yeah. We'll get to see maybe young Nick Fury, Jeremy Renner.
Right.
Yeah, it'll be cool to see a movie with Black Widow that does not have Tony Stark.
Yeah.
Yes. And then after that, The Eternals is supposedly the next slot.
Yeah, how the hell is that going to work?
I have no idea. There's a lot of cool people being cast. Who's Richard Madden, though? Is he part of the Madden family?
He designs shoes.
Yeah. Right, he's a football player? Yeah.
if they got John Madden.
Oh, they used that to the thing that makes you look younger on TV?
Oh, yeah.
Same voice, huge body, but like a young face. Like jet black hair, that weird. You know sometimes when old guys start dyeing their hair and they go way too black?
Oh,
it's like they use printer ink?
Yeah.
It's like the stuff they spray on their hair.
Yeah. And then they sweat and it drips down.
Ooh, that's gonna be sexy. And then so
John Madden is Icarus.
I think that's the casting.
Yeah.
And then Kumail Nanjiani.
All right.
Also has signed on.
Good for him.
Oh yeah. I should reread because I remember really enjoying the Neil Gaiman Eternals reboot whenever that came out.
Well, this is the original Eternals.
Well, yeah, but it was the same characters and the same costumes.
Oh, it was just a reboot.
It was like, I think the idea was like they all lost their memories and now they're on Earth, which I think if they're going to do a movie, that sort of makes sense.
Yeah.
So if you haven't, maybe this is the opportunity to reread that and then prep yourself for the movie.
I think we got time for one more story. We're at...
Okay.
Oh, cool.
We're running low on time. Well, also, Salma Hayek has also possibly signed on as Cersei. I am...
Biggest celebrity crush of all time, for sure.
Really? That's your number one? Yep. Okay, cool.
Nice.
I haven't seen her anything since 30 Rock.
Oh, she looks good, man.
She still looks amazing.
She's like Marissa Tomei. Like, she keeps looking hotter every year somehow. Right. Like, I don't know. I don't know how it happens, but...
ABC's Stumptown is now scheduled to premiere on Wednesday, September 25th at 10 p.m. We're just very excited for Greg Rucka.
Yeah.
Matt... Southworth, sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just staring into Jacob's eyes.
Shut up. You're trying to get the answer from me. I don't know what Stumptown is. It's a show about a bunch of people who don't have legs from the knee down. Like,
low countered town.
And of course, our friend Justin Greenwood.
Yeah, get that TV money, Justin.
Get that TV money, Matt and Justin.
Has he been on the show?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. He has.
Did we talk about Last Siege maybe with him? Or was
Justin?
Before that? Yeah.
Oh, we've talked to Justin multiple times
that's
on
true.
The show.
Yeah.
And Matt, too. Matt was on the show about Stumptown.
Right.
I think we talked to Justin about Stumptown as well.
Yeah.
And we talked to Greg, too. Sweet. They've all been on the show.
Yeah.
All friends
Previous
of the
guests.
Show.
Oh, really? Okay, cool.
So that's pretty awesome.
When did you guys get Greg Rucka?
A while ago.
Yeah.
About Wonder Woman, I think.
Yeah.
Was it, did he, in the store?
No, I think it was
called in
the air.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
At some point.
That's dope.
Yeah. We're famous.
Yeah, maybe we'll get to
I listen to it every week at the Silent Disco. So like.
And hopefully we'll have more people soon.
Yeah.
I mean, you're famous, Jacob. We have you.
Oh, all right. Celebrity. First of all, stop that.
yeah, so that's the news, guys.
Yeah.
A ton of news this week.
Whew.
I'm so exhausted.
This is fun. This is a good one.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming back.
Absolutely. Glad to do it.
Yeah. I've been Jessica Balboni.
Hey, I'm Jesse Hitt.
And I'm Jacob Rubin.
Woohoo!
See you later, everybody.
Bye, guys.